Lot 8 confession. Wait a minute. Lot 11 confession 8. Yeah.
Because you may be able to tell from the land records who owned it. Or who built it, you know?
Well, that's it. Nobody can tell me actually when it was built. But the first bank that was ever in Navan was in that house. And J.T. Bradley, Lorne Bradley's grandfather, started his first store there when he came down here from Ottawa.
Side.
Yeah, right in that house, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
So, and then he bought the property across the street, of course.
Well, what's the house? Is it log part of it, or?
It's heavy, heavy pine boards, about 12 or 14 inches wide and about nearly an inch and a half to 2 inches thick.
Oh, really?
Oh, and it's got the old square nails, you know, that nail the board. And the same with that house of Keith Simpson's, too, you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So they're two very old ones.
Yeah.
I was interested in Hearst's house there.
Oh, yeah, that's a very old house. People by the name of Alan Dillon owned that one time. And that's where the carriage shop was right there.
Okay.
And I can show you exactly where that carriage shop was.
Yeah. Well, that, according to this NCC book, it said it was Kemp's carriage.
Kemp's carriage shop. And my father was nearly asphyxiated in that at one time, you know.
Oh, I should tell you, too. I was talking to Verna Cotton last night. I said I was bringing it for a drive today. And she said, well, you get the Davy family history for the Joyce Mayer book, because she said, I talked to Herb, and he said to come and interview him. She said, I'm too uncomfortable to do that. So
why?
Ask him about the Herb.
Why should she be uncomfortable?
Well, she doesn't like doing interviews. A lot of people won't do that.
And this is, of course, the Wilson Cemetery, as you
yeah.
know. That's where my mother and father's buried there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They keep it a lot nicer now than it used to.
Were they Presbyterian, Herb? Cause
United.
This is United.
Yeah, United Church. I get so depressed, you know, around Navan, and there's old bigotries and that still hang on.
Yeah.
We need two churches in Navan like we need a hole in the head, you know.
Yeah.
And when you look at all these new religious types that are starting up in Orleans and the Saturday paper, my goodness, you see a whole page of different types of...
different types of faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there used to be a lot of them, too. Is there a name for that hill that we just came up?
Really not.
I wouldn't.
I don't think there's any.
Where Don and Joan lived, that was the O'Mara farm.
Was that
where Frank Kenny was?
No, I think that's probably the O'Mara farm for sure.
Yeah.
That was just a little before my time, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But Sam's place here. I've got to get in and take a photograph of Sam.
Yeah. Before that old house disappears.
Yeah.
See, the barn has gone now.
This house at the back.
Yeah, the house at the back.
Little one. That's where Sam Raswell was born.
That's a very old house, and this is an old house, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's been numerous people in that. Now, that's relatively new, that.
Yeah.
But this house on the right that we're coming to, this is where the McCullough family lived and was raised, you know, and they've lived there for many, many years. George McCullough, he was a farmer and also an auctioneer as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
At one time. Robinson Chapman's there now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've always noticed the barn.
And of course, there was nothing along here at all.
All these would be new.
Yeah.
Well, I wondered where McCullough lived, because they were sort of one of the primary families.
Well, I went to school with all that McCullough family.
Yeah. Are there any McCulloughs left?
Oh, yes, there are. And as a matter of fact, where Mildred Wall was living just prior to reaching that, there was Jack and George McCullough, and Jack McCullough lived right across the road from Sam Raffles there at one time.
So there wouldn't have been anything down here until you came to...
Till you come to Murray's Hill.
Yeah.
And this is the old original Murray house here on the left. This is Murray's Hill. And of course, Albert Belanger, who lives here, built this cheese factory, and he ran that for many, many years. But the old barn of Murray's there is gone now as well. But this hill has been cut down...
Just recently.
Oh, yeah, not too many years ago, because, boy, you'd pop over the top of that. You couldn't see anyone coming up the other side at all.
Well, Peter Clark was sort of... instrumental in getting that cut down. He almost killed a lady coming over the hill. She was crossways on the road.
That was quite... As a matter of fact, before that hill was finished, I was coming down there one very icy day with my oil truck, and right at the top it took a notion to go down backwards, and I went down the hill backwards, and it righted itself. I thought, boy, you're sent for it. And at the bottom it righted itself, and...
Yeah. I'm going to go down to... Okay. There used to be... Years ago, before it Do you remember if there was a road here or whether the old road used to come from up through Sarsfield?
Well, as long as I can remember, this is the way the road was.
No, but this is the crossroad back there.
Yeah, that was always the way it was, as long as I can remember.
Well, I wondered because I sort of, from what I've read and wondered, I wondered if this wasn't the main road at one time to Cumberland. And if it hooked across, you know how that road goes off? Oh, just before Bearbrook.
Yes, I know what you mean.
And that's where it would have hooked back into Bearbrook.
Well, no, it may be, but that was long, long then before my time. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know how recent a lot of these roads were with the region coming in. Okay. The Burg of Sarsfield, Kathleen.
Yeah. But all these houses are all new on both sides of the street here.
There's a few that must be fairly
and
old.
And of course, at one time, this building that was a nursing home, it was the convent at one time.
Oh, okay.
You know, but since it's been taking over for a nursing home and so on, many years ago, as a matter of fact. There was no school here, as a matter of fact, then.
Mm-hmm.
Right on this side. And these are all new properties here. Sarsfield was just a little wee hamlet at one time.
Yeah.
With the hotel in the corner, as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
Ray
Moore's. The big hotel's one of the earliest buildings.
Yes.
The
and then the Leduc's store was right here at one time, and actually it was over here on this vacant lot in this corner opposite the hotel, and it burned down at one time, and then Leduc moved over there, but there was nothing really here at all.
Okay.
Theodore Gravel had a garage there on this corner for many, many years, you know, practically as long as I can remember, you know, and this cheese factory over here, it's been here for quite a number of years, and has since been converted to a farm machinery operation.
Oh, okay, so the cheese factory wasn't here originally.
Yeah, well, this was prior to the one up at Belanger's, yes.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
So it's older than...
Oh, yeah, that's quite a...
There was a little cheese store in here.
Yeah, that's right, but it was that was only built in recent years.
Okay, so if somebody had said to me the cheese factory in Sarsfield, I would have thought of that.
Yeah, and as we're going south now to Sarsfield, this is a very old house where the Overlaw farmer lived there for many, many years, and he farmed there. Of course, the barn is gone there again. All these old buildings got into disrepair and fell down, but that's a very old house.
Well, the Saints lived here. Is that the Saints farm here?
Desai's farm were, just as we're coming into Sarsfield on the right-hand side.
Yeah, well, Bob's living
there. That's right, sort of in behind the convent that I was telling you about. Yeah, that's where their farm was.
When was the quarry started up here?
Oh, that's not too many years ago, and I would say maybe, just taking a guess, maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
But it's not old at all, that.
Yeah. Were there the quarries, do you know where the quarries would have, because there's a few...
Well, as we go down towards Bearbrook, I'll show you where there was the gravel pit of the township at one time.
On this road?
No, it's when we go through Leonard and Bearbrook. If you turn right and go through Leonard.
Jean-Noël de Saint was saying his family took him up for a balloon ride for their 40th anniversary.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and he couldn't get over the amount of bush in the township.
Oh, yes.
Now, he says, you know, compared to what it was years ago when there was more and more acreage under cultivation. And he was almost upset, you know, disappointed, or he found it hard that all this good farmland wasn't being used anymore.
Well, it's true.
Yeah.
Cumberland Township has some of the best farmland in eastern Ontario.
Yeah.
And it's just lying idle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all free development, eh?
That's
everybody's
right.
Waiting for the development dollars. Okay, this is Watson Road. Oh, we're on the Sarsfield Road.
Yeah, this is Watson Road.
Where Hayden Coburn was killed at this corner, eh?
Exactly. That's where Hayden met it, right there.
Yeah.
Hayden was a fine gentleman, too. A real...
I've heard some pretty good things about him. Yeah.
Just a real gentleman.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that I miss more than anything is all of these people that I've visited over the years. And one of the things I regret having not done is gone around to see a lot of them, you know, a year or so after I got out of the business, because there's so many of them gone now.
Yeah. Yeah.
An awful lot of
people used to go see on a regular basis.
Oh, I think it's...
Okay. Now, was this the pit you were talking
about? No, this is not the pit, but George Spence owned this pit.
Okay.
And it was operated for many, many years, but it's not a pit as such, although there was a lot of stuff taken out of that.
Both sides of the road?
Yeah, for road building around here, but... But
this
it's
is all Spence's...
This is all George Spence's farm here, yeah.
Yeah,
George Spence has been around here for many, many years. Of course, he has passed away in the last year or so.
Was there much at Leonard?
Well, I'll just show you what was at Leonard. And it was
just,
you'd blink your eyes and that was it, you know.
Oh, really?
Oh, the railway station was it.
Yeah.
That's where. And a fellow by the name of Fred Kaye ran the station for many, many years.
Now, where was it?
Well, I can show you exactly.
Okay.
And you heard about the horrendous accident.
You'll have to tell me about that later, because I've heard references to
it. I was one of the first there that day. Now, there is the old...
Well, do you want to talk about it? We'll pull over and talk about it.
Right exactly where those cedar trees are, that's where the, almost approximately where the station was, right there, and the little station house was just to the east of it.
Where that's
a white building. That was used as a tool or a watershed. At one time they had the trains used to stop there, the freights and passenger trains, and take on water here.
Okay.
You know, and there was sidings here where Raffles used to... get a carload of coal, and they pull off to the siding, and then of course they unloaded it there. But I just forget the exact date of that train wreck. But actually, the truck ran into the side of the train right at this crossing right here, and I can still see the cars that were derailed piled up on this side of the track here.
Okay, I wondered if it was here.
Yeah.
Were there any houses or buildings there?
No, there were no buildings or anything there. And fortunately, very fortunately, that they didn't hit the station itself.
What time of the day was it?
It was in the morning. Rod Lalone, the station agent at Navin, I guess, heard tell of it first. And I came down here with him right away before there was anyone here at all. And, of course, there were bodies and everything lying all over the place.
What happened exactly?
The gravel truck loaded was coming from south to north.
Yeah.
And the train was going by, and I don't know whether... It was a very bad crossing because you could not see the trains approaching from either side, you know.
Oh, I see.
And the train, the gravel truck just ran into the side of the train.
I guess he
couldn't get stopped, I guess, or something, or else he didn't see it. And the train was going from west to east. And, of course, that house was always a blind spot there, you see.
Yeah.
And just banging it. The engine and a few of the coaches went ahead, and, of course, from where he hit behind, they just all off the track and telescoped and all landed right in here.
And was it a passenger train?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I forget how many people were killed in that.
Yeah.
And, of course, Doc Kennedy came out that time, too. He was a doctor at Cumberland at the time. And came out, and there were some survivors, but I just really forget now how many...
No, that's something we can look up.
And when I was a young lad, we used to go to the Dance Advice, and two of us very nearly... got it at that track one Saturday night going to a dance advice.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people in the township killed on the tracks over years, one track or another.
And, as people say, the train never gets off the track to hit you.
No.
So, in a split second, and that crossing at Navin, you know, where the Navin station used to be, Percy Smith got hit twice there with Bradley's milk truck.
Yeah, and I hear it was the same... Yeah,
same engineer.
Same engineer both times.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
so it's really a...
Collette Girard's brother?
Her brother and sister got killed there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, well, which... Okay, Tiny McWilliams?
Tiny McWilliams' wife and his wife's sister got killed at that crossing just south of Navin.
Yeah, where George Savage used to live.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who owned, or do you know who owned or who...
Yes, I think it was people by the name of... Shane's owned that house.
Shane, okay.
I'm almost positive that's the name.
Was that a hotel at one time? That's what somebody told me.
I believe it was. Now, my memory.
I should ask, you know who I should ask is El Carrasco, because I had heard that the old bar is still there.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
Because that is probably one of the older buildings in the township.
Yeah.
But there was nothing here. Just if you stop for a minute, the old town hall was right here. It was a red brick structure, and that's where all the And it's right on the site of where, not the main building, but this, what do you call
the
it?
The hall.
The hall, where the hall is. That's where it was. And when I was a kid and we had the school competitions of all the rural schools around, we used to bring all our displays and display them in there of our woodcraft and so on and so forth in the summertime. And we had our parades from there and so on and so forth. But that was the center of the township at one time for many, many, many years. That, plus this house I was talking about right here, plus Rathwell's store, that was all that was here.
Yeah. Now the store was in the front of the house?
The store was in the front of the house. And Charlie's mother and dad ran that. Carson Rathwell was his name.
Okay.
And his wife.
We were trying to figure out where Marshall Rathwell came in. Now, he was Carson's father, I think.
Or Carson's brother. He lived right beside me for many years.
Marshall Rathwell.
Where Keith Simpson is living now. Oh, yes.
He was Reeve at one time.
And a very, very caustic old gentleman, too. Oh, you know, oh, boy. But there was nothing here at all. Absolutely nothing.
I know there was, originally there was a mill.
Pope's had a mill, and these two houses are quite old. This has been done over, but that was it. And the mill was right approximately where Darrell Coburn's, Darrell and
Margaret?
Wilma Coburn's house is approximately right there on the left.
Okay. That was further back.
Yeah. It was just on, there was a big sawmill, and they did quite a business there at one time.
Yeah.
But from here to Bearbrook, there was absolutely nothing except, you know, open farms.
Is this still happening?
No, there was, this is really, no, there's nothing here at all. And of course, over on the left, that's where Hayden Coburn farmed.
Yeah.
And his brother Francis.
Across the road here.
Yeah, and Mr. William Henry Coburn, Francis' father, farmed this for years and years.
Oh,
and
okay.
He was a fine old gentleman, too. And you can see where Francis and Hayden got their good nature from. He was a real, real gentleman as well.
Yeah. I knew Francis. Century Farm.
Yes, it's quite old.
So William Henry was there first.
That's right, his father.
Okay. Any idea who owned this place?
Yes, I'm trying to think of his first name. A fellow by the name of Webb owned that. And he was in there for years and years. And of course, that's where Red Dragon Sand and Gravel is now. I'm just trying to think of.
That was one of the Webbs.
Webbs, yeah. And. I'll probably think of it a little later on, but this is we're coming to what was known as Rathwell's gravel pit on the left here, and you can see how that all runs in, that gravel vein all runs in there, and this is all sort of a gravel hill here. And this was the main gravel outlet in the township many years ago.
Yeah.
And this wasn't the main gate then. It's just down here a little bit on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when horses and sleighs used to haul gravel out of there in the wintertime, you know, and they put it on the roads and so on. This was the main gate right here on the left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does it still go into the pit?
Oh, yeah, but I don't know whether it operates very much now. And this, of course, is the old, the Bearbrook Bridge. Of course, at one time it was a little narrow one track. If you just stop here a minute. A number of years ago, of course, they renovated, but there has been a couple of crack-ups here simply because they were all little narrow one-track bridges at one time. And the brook, today it's been cleaned out, as you probably know, a number of times, and the water seems to flow in it better now. But this area down on the left here, it usually floods quite badly
in the
spring.
Too,
yeah. And on the right here, just at this gate up here, is Cecil Walsh's farm, where his where his father, William Walsh, or Billy Walsh, as we knew him, farmed for many, many years. And I took product in there to Cecil for many, many years. And
because I've been in that house, and I knew it was an older.
Yeah, it's a very old, one of the older places, farms in the township as well.
Yeah, so that was Walsh's?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, of course, we're coming into Bearbrook.
Yeah.
And I'll show you where one of the one of the cheese factories that used to be in the township, run by a Mr. William Olmsted at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's long since gone, like many of the others in the township.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hayeses, as we're approaching there, the Hayeses lived in there.
There in the farm?
Yeah.
Back here?
Lydney and Steve Hayes operated that farm. Now, almost as we're coming out, right about approximately there. There was
so
a little.
It would have been just to the right of the old.
Yeah,
store.
A little cheese factory there at one time, and it was run by
the Olmsteds
at one time.
Okay.
And this was the only store in Bearbrook, and there's been numerous owners of that over the years.
Who was the fellow that was there last? Because I remember when that was still a store.
I believe his name was Hayes. I'm trying to think of the original owners of it now. Not Lydia. I'm just trying to think of the original owners of that store. But it's been there for many, many years also.
Mm-hmm.
But as you see, it's been converted into a residence a number of years ago. And on the left here there was a blacksmith shop there, and that's a very old house, but the blacksmith shop has since gone. Old gentleman by the name of David McCrae.
Okay, now is that the white one?
No, just past that on the right. It's that big house just beyond that is where they lived, he and Mrs. McCrae. As a matter of fact, just let me get this straight. Heather Simpson's mother was their daughter. In other words, that was Heather Simpson's grandparents.
Okay.
Mr. David McCrae, that he had two daughters, and one was Heather's mother. And he had a blacksmith shop there, and he operated that for many, many years, and I delivered oil to his house there for quite a long time.
McCrae's have lived in the township for
a while. Oh, yes. They were one of the early settlers. But, you know, apart from, there's that house of Hayes's in the back. That's a very, very old house as well.
Are you running the paper, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay,
and these are relatively new houses right here. There's not much. Really, the McCrae house, this store, and the Hayes's, those were the three main.
There was the manse there, too.
Yes, that's the Bearbrook manse.
It was for the Bearbrook Church?
For the Bearbrook Church, exactly.
Okay.
And there's been, you know, you'd have to look into the records to see who was the padres over the years for those.
Fairly well documented, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't know that's where McCrae's was.
Yeah, right there. And. Well, the little blacksmith shop was just, you know, approximately, give or take, here.
Yeah,
and that's from a crazy lift for many, many years. Of course, these are all new houses here.
Oh, yeah.
And that was an old schoolhouse at one time sometimes the names escape you who live there. Harold and Merle Birch live there now.
Yeah. I'm just going to take Kathy.
Yeah.
Have you ever been out this way, Kathleen?
No, not.
This is the Russell Road.
Yeah, we're just turning onto Regional 26 here.
Oh, I can't remember what they are. I try to use the new names so that the residents get used to it.
But yes, that's right.
The paper, they'll get used to it too, I hope.
This is a lovely little old church.
Yeah.
And this addition has been put onto it, you know, in the last few years.
It is a lovely church.
Yeah. It's much similar in the style of the one in Navan, A lot of the Anglican churches have sort of the same architecture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And not being prejudiced or anything, of all the churches that I've been in, like in England and some in France and so on, I don't think that I've ever seen a nicer altar window than the one in St. Mary's in Navan, you know, with the Last Supper, you know, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. This is the Trinity Cemetery, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Because I've got the cemetery records, I've been putting them in the computer and they've taken me forever. I think there's 700 people buried in there or something.
In here?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's quite a bit larger than St. Mary's at Navan.
Down to Vars.
Yeah.
Go down to Vars and then curl back up around.
Now you can go in this forest road here, what we always used to know as the Forest Road.
Yeah. They renamed it because it was Henryson Road or something for a while, and then they went back to the Force Road.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do have it changed.
You were born in Scotland, weren't you?
No, Ottawa. No, well, Navan, yeah, I'd say, yeah. My parents, well, I can...
But you've got family in Scotland.
Oh, yes, all my relatives here. My mother was the only one that stayed here, yeah.
Oh, I see. Well,
when we go back to Navan, I can show you exactly where their farm was. It's just right in behind Byron Wald. You know where Burns is, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's just across the street,
okay.
But back in there maybe half a mile.
Well, yeah, right at Byron's farm.
Yeah, back in where Byron...
Because there's an older house back in there.
Well, that's exactly what's where their farm was.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that was the Davy farm.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, are you related to Eric Davy?
Well...
Back farm.
Way out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is the Griffiths farm here. That's been Griffiths as long as I can remember,
yeah.
You know. And we're coming to the little United Church Cemetery here,
yeah.
On the right. It's been much better kept,
yes.
Over the years, too.
Yeah, I don't know, what I should do sometime is come and see, because I always thought that this was done as part of the, that we had the records of this cemetery as part of the, Trinity.
Oh, is that right?
But I don't think, I look at these names and they're not names like Federley, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that we don't have the cemetery done, so this is one that we should probably come.
And is there any record of the old cemetery,
yeah.
On the left here?
We came in and did that one.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess that was, what, 2 summers ago, Kathleen?
Has it been moved, or is it still...
It was last year.
Was it?
Last,
yeah.
Night.
I haven't been down here for so long that
Wesley Simpson took the... Or Wesley Armstrong took the stones. He used to cut the grass in here.
Yes.
And the stones were all broken and all fallen over. And
oh, there are still some of them here.
Oh, yeah. Well, he picked them up and put them all in a big pile, and boy, did he ever get a blast.
Well, it's certainly better than leaving them all lying decrepit.
But that's the Patterson Cemetery. That was...
Was that a Presbyterian cemetery?
Yeah. And you know who was buried in there? A lot of the Dashneys.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some hills in there. Stewart Hill. I can't remember. But I remember noticing the Dashneys particularly. But that was the abandoned Patterson Presbyterian Cemetery. Okay, Kathleen, is that right?
Well, I used to come down this road quite a bit, and as long as I can remember, it was just growing up in weeds.
Yeah.
It looks better there now than I've ever seen,
yeah.
It, as a matter of fact.
Well, Les Armstrong, not Wes.
Les, yeah.
Yeah, Ronnie's dad.
Mm.
Well, Les used to keep the grass cut in there, and then I think that Neil?
Oh, yes, his son?
Yeah, not Neil. The one that's on the farm.
Oh,
Glenn.
Glenn, yes.
Yes, he's doing the same thing, and he's keeping the United Cemetery as well. And I think Garrett and Marilyn Lowe. No, maybe they do the United Cemetery, because I've seen them in there cutting grass too.
And this farm on the right is where Ray Lowe farmed for many, many,
okay.
Ray and Carol Lowe.
Where was the Innes farm?
Well, that's one that I don't know. But
okay.
Innes?
Innes, yeah.
No, that's...
There's Innes is there now. A couple I know. Is this their place? Yeah, where the old cars are. And his mother used to live in the little old house on the other side of the bush here.
Just up a little piece, you mean?
Nope. Well, yeah, it'd be directly through the bush here,
mm-hmm.
On the road going back to the road out of Bars.
This has grown up so much in the last, you know, 10
yeah.
or 15 years.
Yeah.
Of course, there was nothing here at all a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's all been built up. Bars was quite a busy spot at one time because people by the name of Hayes and Tanners, they ran quite a store business in Byers at one time, and an awful lot of things came off the CN rail line there, and they shipped cattle to Montreal and milk and all this. You know, the general run of things was done through much more so than even at Navan at one time.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask. So it was a much bigger rail center.
Oh, yes, at one time than Navan.
Okay. Well, I remember talking to Evans Rickard, and I think this used to be the main rail depot for quite a way south, too.
Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, Evans would give you a raft of information about VARs.
He was a great one to talk to about the railroads.
Yeah.
He worked on the railroads for years.
But for years and years, this is where everybody came to on a Saturday night to the dances over here.
Oh, okay.
From VARs all over the place.
And where was the hall?
I'll just take you right around to it and show you exactly where it was.
Is this the same hall that they used to have the plays? Harmony Hall?
Yes, Harmony Hall.
Okay.
And it's been torn down, and the fire hall was there, if it's still there.
Yeah, the fire hall's still, well, I presume. Now, I forget. You'll have to show me how to get there.
Okay, well, you can go down this street here.
Okay. Turning onto Bearbrook Road here, which is...
It's up the next hill,
yep. Yep, just past the school. There's that attack,
Kathy. Yeah, they refurbished that a number of years ago, put a new base under it and so on.
You got somebody on the stand here.
Oh, sorry. It's his problem. Thank you.
I'm not sure where the street is to go down to the cemetery.
I'll show you. Can't remember. Is it this one?
It's probably this one right here.
Yeah. If it's not this one, it's the next one. I tell you who asked me was Deborah Griffith. She said, where is there a cemetery in Barnes?
Oh, yeah, there it is, right down there.
Yeah.
I thought it was here.
I don't know. I've never seen one. So we got out the ordnance survey maps, and sure enough, there was one on the map. But I had to come looking for it. You know, Brian Coburn didn't even know there was one here.
Is that right?
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Like, Verna didn't know there was one here. Verna Cotton.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I'll probably have to back all the way out here. But
well, maybe you can turn in there.
We came in here in the spring, and this was all filled with marigolds. Like, wild marigolds. It was beautiful.
Oh, you mean the trilliums?
No.
Oh, marigolds.
Like what I call the marsh marigolds.
Oh, yes.
The wildflowers. It was so pretty. It's all really swampy in here.
I'd just be interested to notice
if... Cemetery, you would think.
No, if...
they'd drown if they weren't dead when they went in there.
Well, you've probably heard of Bob King, who played in CFRA for many years, and his wife Marie, her parents lived just north of Navan, and she was supposed to have buried her husband in here, and I'm just interested to see if...
fairly large cemetery.
Oh yeah, you'd be able to turn around.
Yeah.
Go too far.
Danger falling
monument.
Well, that's good.
Oh,
Supernova.
I see some...
There's some flowers down
some
there.
Flowers.
They have just had their cemetery thing like Navan just had, eh?
Oh, that's right. They may have.
Memorial service. Yeah. Now I think this cemetery's been transcribed too, so I can get a copy of that one. But boy, it must be wet back in here.
Oh, just imagine. And you know that the Navan United Church Cemetery, until they drained that, and that was a real bog hole.
Oh, yeah.
When my dad was buried there, I can see the men bailing the water out, and they just couldn't keep it out, and the coffin went right into the water.
Yeah.
It was just, but Basil Johnson, I think, took it upon himself to drain it after a couple of episodes like that, and now it's quite good.
Well,
I
that
think.
Explains something, because I remember Joanne Griffin, when her dad died, and she was talking about that. She felt so bad to leave him there.
Yes.
They broke the water, and that explains it. So it's probably years ago, but the memory still stays.
Yeah.
Dale's apparently is just as bad.
Yes. Now the Anglican Church in Navan, I have heard, at times there will be water, but it's up so high
it's
that.
Up on a hill.
Oh yeah, it's not too bad.
But you really have to know where that one is to find it.
Yeah. Now this building on the corner here, Warren Hayes operated a store. here for many, many, many years, this large building on the corner here.
Okay.
And it... And it was run for many, many years by Ray Barnaby, who ran a home for
retarded kids.
Yeah,
well, they were running the strawberry.
And since running the strawberry farm.
Now,
there,
where's this hall?
Oh, just go right here.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I knew Barnaby had lived in Mars for a long time.
And just over the tracks on the left, there's a little street. I think we can go down there. If not,
okay,
we'll go around.
Well, I remember going down here to the fire hall, but I could never take you back because Chris was driving.
No, we'll have to go around and go up to the next street.
Oh, you can't get through?
Yeah, there used to be a little road you could go down there.
Oh, okay. Well, I knew it was backed onto the tracks here someplace. It's a little shell station in the village,
Just left of this little street here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's right, Harmony Hall is right where that fire hall is today.
Okay.
And we would come over here on Saturday nights for many years. Now, this was back in the late 30s and 40s and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And the hall itself ran east and west, you know, like this.
And who would put the dances on?
Just various people and sometimes the band themselves. There was a fellow by the name of McClellan, came here with the band for many, many years, and he used to play at Cumberland as well. I just forget what his first name was, but it was, you know, the saxophone type of era. There was there wasn't guitars and that stuff like there is today, you know.
No.
And the hall would be jam-packed, you know.
So this, there would have been a hall here in Vars.
Uh-huh.
Was there a hall in Navin?
Yes.
Because there was the Forester's Hall.
Well, that was right beside Bradley Store.
Okay.
And part of the foundation, as a matter of fact, still there.
Oh, yeah. When did it come down?
When did it come down? That's a good question, though.
It doesn't matter.
Maybe Lorne Bradley could tell you that.
Yeah, because I think it was on the photograph that I saw of Elsie.
Yes. Oh, Elsie had a wealth of photographs around Navin.
But this... Okay, this hall came down, so the dances would have gone on in the 30s. When did the hall come down here?
Well, it probably came down in the 50s, because I know just prior to going overseas, I came to one of the dances here, you know, and this was in 1941, so it was still going then.
Yeah. Well, was Vars dry?
Oh, yes.
Was Navin dry?
Oh, everybody dash out here, right here, and take a big swig out of the bottle and then back in.
And make it worthwhile.
Oh, heavens, yes. And right here where Connell has a store, a fellow by the name of George Shaw, ran a store there then, and we'd all dash over there to get a mix or whatever, see. Right in this building right here. He'd sometimes have a sandwich or two, but we mostly ran over there to get our pop. It was quite the thing coming to Vars in those days, to the dances, I tell you.
He's operated his garage there for a year or two, too.
Yes, Barry's been there quite a while, and he's seems to be doing quite a business there.
Yeah.
But Barry's a real chip off the old block. You know, Eldon was a great storyteller, too, and, you know, and he remembered a lot of things around.
Yes. Yeah. He was a great help to home support. They really missed
You know where the Kinsella farm was down east of Sarsfield. I guess it was maybe halfway between Sarsfield and Hammond at one time, and where the Kinsellas were brought up down there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian lives on that farm now. He works for the township. Brian Kinsella?
Yeah. He just had a dance there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting mixed up with the Ladries. That's what.
Oh, I can show you where his farm was, but he has, I'll show you where he, well, he's living in Barrs here now, but I'll show you the house that he was living
in.
Yeah,
I'm just curious, because Susan Fleming's been interviewing him quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, Susan happened to be in, or at least I happened to be in the mill the day she was, did the write-up of that, you know.
Oh, I laughed. She got a phone call about it. She listed off a bunch of the people who were there one day. And they said, did you not know that so-and-so hasn't spoken to somebody else there for 2 years? She said, no.
I don't know what...
They were playing backgammon, so she...
Oh, yeah. Oh, we have some great backgammon games.
Yeah.
But I guess that'll... The three chairs of the backgammon board will be long gone when Liptak takes over, I would imagine.
I hope they go to the museum. I think they ought to be preserved, don't you?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Right,
the old
conscious
display.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we miss... we very much miss people like Jim Shaw and... who used to come in there quite often, you know, and and of course Clark Armstrong, who is not too well now, and to listen to some of the tales that they had to tell was very interesting.
Well, Susan was going to interview Clark,
which goes back quite a bit farther.
Yeah.
Now Clark was quite a renowned blacksmith in Navan in his day too.
Yeah.
And his brother Bill had a blacksmith shop right in Navan. Right beside that cheese factory, where I can show you exactly where it is also.
So there were, three or four blacksmiths then in Navan?
Well, actually, Clark started his blacksmith shop after his brother Bill had sort of got out of it, you know. And that blacksmith shop was right across the street from where Bradley Store is now. Directly across the street.
Because there would have been the one where Ham.
Yes.
Fairly recent, though, I think.
Well, the one that Ham is working in now, it's kind of a subsidiary of the original one that his father worked in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can show you exactly where the original blacksmith shop was.
Yeah.
And of course, it's long gone now, and it's in a lawn. But you see, they after Mr. Ernie Brereton had that blacksmith shop for many years, they moved up north and worked in the mines up there for many years, and then they came back and to Navan, and Ham built this other little blacksmith shop, which he worked in for many years.
Yeah, well, that's why I said I thought it was a little more recent, because what's the name of this bridge?
Well, I really don't know. Probably the Griffiths, but that's where Osborne Griffith lived for many, many years.
Okay.
Right there. Now, I don't know whether there was a particular name for it, but that was a terrible little bridge at one time. It was a one-laner. And there's been a few ding-ups there, too.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure.
But with the traffic, they've just had to widen them out.
Well, I hear that's one thing the region did for us, is put in a good road system.
Oh, yes. The roads. Sure, people complain about the taxes and so on, but it's inevitable, you know, with the amount of improvements that we have to get.
Yeah, they don't realize what it costs to build roads. Lydia Goodfellow.
Oh, I'll show you. I'll show you exactly where that is. And I delivered product there for many, many years as well. And we're coming up on the left here to where Mr. William Ball lived. He was a long-time resident of this area, this farm just here on the left. I don't know who's in there now, but he and Mrs. Ball lived there. And then when they retired, they moved to Bearbrook, and they lived in a little house right exactly across the street from where I pointed out where McCrae's used to live.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very old farm here.
Okay. See, I thought that was Goodfellas.
No. Well, we're coming up to Goodfellas on the right. We'll turn at the first corner.
Yeah.
And this was Goodfellas' farm. This guy has transferred it into greenhouses and sort of a garden farm.
Big operation now.
Oh, yeah. But Lydia and Milton Goodfellow, they lived in that farm, and then his brother John lived just across the road from him.
Okay, so they had the farmhouse here on the right.
Yeah, this large farmhouse.
Okay.
Now there's been additions to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Lydia lives in this little house on the corner.
Yeah.
And her father, a fellow by the name of Mr. Mitchell, lived there for many years, and I used to...
Okay, that's where
Jim Mitchell, and I used to take him oil there, right, in that little house there.
Okay.
And Lydia's living there now, I believe, and I think that's her daughter. Her daughter-in-law lives in the little trailer beside.
I read a lot about Mr. Mitchell. What did he do?
Just a minute now. I think he was a cheese inspector at one time.
Okay.
Went around all the factories. But this is where Lydia lived, right here.
Okay.
And then, Lydia and Milton, and then John Goodfellow and his wife lived right here across the street. But as you can see, this fellow's gone into market gardening quite heavy.
It's Mr. Mitchell, we got an article in The Citizen that was written years ago about him. He moved to California and lived with his daughter down there at one time.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow next door, his name is Hank Ketchum.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to do Dennis the Menace cartoons.
Oh, yes.
And Dennis the Menace's neighbor is Mr. Mitchell.
Oh!
That was named for the
Mr. He was a great old gentleman to listen to. And
he must have been quite the storyteller.
Oh, every time I went there were certain places that you had to allot 15 or 20 minutes, no matter how busy you were, to sit down and have a cup of coffee or something. But one old chap in particular, Mr. Edmund Nolan down near Hammond that I went to, I knew it was a half hour regardless. When I come in, there was a bottle of gin sitting in the middle of the table with two glasses, and you just had to sit down and talk for at least 20 minutes, half an hour. But we'd have one drink and one drink only. That's all he'd have. But that was a tradition. And you remember all these things going around to all of these people.
Yeah.
But they were such fine old people, you know, and real, as they say, salt of the earth type of people. And this bridge here, we used to come fishing down here. And at one time, there were lots of fish in the brush, the brook away up. But it's got so filled in that lately, you know, that there's nothing at all. And the water table was much, much higher then, and we'd come swimming down here, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It still is underwater in the spring pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But since they have raised this road up,
mm-hmm.
it's much, much better. Maybe one day or so in certain places, but...
Yeah, so they used to water over the road?
Oh, heavens, yes, for a week at a time.
Oh, okay. Well, the Tenth Line used to be like that, too. I remember Verna Cotton telling me that one time.
Oh, there were a lot of places, but now that the water table has gone down and ditches have been cleaned out,
mm-hmm.
the water gets away much, much quicker, you know?
Yeah.
Now, we're coming up to this bush on the right-hand side, and if we stop here, I'll just tell you the story about the fellow that was shot here.
You get lost the tape, Kathleen?
A little bit of it.
Do you want to turn it over? Just stop and turn it over.
Just go ahead a bit to the right here.
Okay. What I'll do is pull over where that driveway is.
Yeah, that's where I want you to stop here. Yes, we're stopped on what is now called Milton Road,
yes.
even though it should be called Minton Road, right at the laneway of what used to be the Spears farm in the 30s and 40s. Margaret and Gertrude Spears owned this farm. And in June of 1940, there was quite a commotion here when apparently a transient that was picked up at north of Navan and transported into Navan by, I believe it was either Edlow or Urban Lancaster, and let off at what was commonly known then as Elsie Clark's store or Elsie's Corner,
mm-hmm.
and he inquired as to where the station was in Navan, and he was directed down there, and nobody knew anything that had happened until the station manager called up in an awful dither, and he had heard this shot in the waiting room. Apparently this transient had gone in, and I don't know whether he had bought a ticket or whatever, but apparently in the course of it, the station master, Mr. Heinz at the time, Mr. William Heinz, was quite suspicious, and being wartime, we're all a bit dubious about these strangers, and he called up the Rockland Police Department, and in the course of it, Mr. Harold Dent came up to investigate this transient, and apparently, as far as any of us knew, there wasn't much conversation. This transient just hauled out and shot the OPP constable right in the waiting room.
Was Dent the constable?
Yes, Mr. Harold Dent was the constable, and he was a very likable personality. Everybody around Navan and the area knew him, and there was only one, maybe, or two at the time, because that in that period of time, you didn't need all this extra police force.
So was he wounded, or was he killed?
Oh, he was killed right on the spot.
Killed?
Oh, yeah, killed right on the spot. Anyway, for many, many years, the bullet hole was still in the wall. Where So when Mr. Heinz heard this, naturally, he put in a call for extra police, and as it happened, Mr. Harold Stringer, who had married one of the Findlay girls who operated the telephone office in Navan at that time, he just happened to be visiting there, and the call came through the telephone office, and of course he heard about it right away, and he was a good friend of Mr. Harold Dent. They were friends, knew each other quite well, so he hopped into his car and rushed down to the station, but by then there was nothing he could do for Mr. Dent. He was dead, and he happened to notice this fella hopping the railroad tracks and hiking it across the fields south of the station. So he after him, you know, right away, and of course word spread around the village quite rapidly then, and I happened to be there at the time, and as a matter of fact, I was studying for my June exams in 1940, it was, and this old chap that was in the garage getting his car fixed, my father was a mechanic and had this little garage in Avon, he was in there, so we had two rifles, and he says, come on, let's go down and see what's happening. So we drove down this road, and we stopped right at this laneway, exactly where we're sitting almost now. And he said, Herb, you stay in the car. And he said, I'll go in the laneway here. And he said, if the SOB comes out, he said, I'll get him. That's just the words he used. But in the meantime, as we came down this road, and Mr. George Smith was there too, and as we came down this road, we could see the fella just entering the bush.
Okay.
You see, and Mr.
So the bush wasn't as thick then?
No, it wasn't quite as thick. It has grown up an awful lot now. So we came down here, and we could see them in the bush. So by that time, there was quite a conglomeration of people around and farmers, and they knew if he had to come out at all, he'd have to come out here or come out in the laneway there, and there was fellas stationed all along in the bush. And I had this .44 rifle, and this Mr. Woolerton, he had this shotgun, and there was farmers all in this laneway here. But we waited and waited and waited for quite some time, and nothing was happening, and all of a sudden we heard this shot in the bush, I think, one at least, and maybe two, I just can't recall at the time. So we waited and waited, and finally Mr. Stringer came out of the bush and told us what had happened. He says this chap he'd followed into the bush had been got down behind a big uprooted tree, you know, and he said he popped his head up, and he said he took a shot at me. And of course Mr. Stringer, who was a crack shot, just one shot right through the head.
So Stringer OPP too?
Yeah, Stringer. I think he was stationed in Peterborough at the time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and so he came in and he says, well, I got him, and he was lying there. And I can well remember the... So we all went into the bush then, of course, and I can well remember the men making a kind of a... what would you call it?
Like a litter.
Like a litter with two poles and somebody's coat, you know, with the litter... shafts through the sleeves, and he came out, they brought him out of the bush just up here about 100 yards from this laneway.
Mm-hmm.
So that was essentially the story of that, and they had a big inquest in the Foresters Hall about it later on, but I dare say I don't think they ever knew who the guy was, who he turned out to be.
They never did.
I don't think they ever found out who he was, but that was quite an event back in those days, you know, to have something like that happen in Avon.
Would the OPP have investigated that, or RCMP?
Oh, the OPP, yeah. Yeah, we never, back in those days, we never heard tell of RCMP.
I just wondered, because if he was suspected spy,
Well, this is what you know, we're always to be wary of in those days, you know, back in the wartime.
Yeah.
But it was just about, I can almost tell you where, approximately right about here, that they brought him out of the bush.
Which is down below Jerry
Heemstra's. Well, almost across the street from Jerry Heemstra's, yeah.
But the bush wouldn't have been as dense then.
No, it was quite dense, but not, it's growing up an awful lot then.
Well, where else do you want to go, Kathleen? Because we can just go back into Navin, maybe, and just go up and down the streets of Navin.
And I can show you where a lot of the...
Oh, you know, we should just come back in that other road, going the back way.
Well, you can turn around and go back that way, sure.
Yeah. Because we're trying to figure out, is there a name for, you know where McFadden's live?
Yes.
Is there a name for that hill?
Well, that was always known as Dag's Hill.
Dag's?
Yeah. Well, I'll show you where it is.
We didn't, that was one we didn't get a response to, Kathleen.
Yeah. Oh, that was always known as Dag's. You see, this is Milton Road. And you know where the Minton Road is?
Where?
Well,
I thought it was
this road goes up here, and when you come up to 28th, Anne, it's a dead end.
And is it Minton Road on the
that side? Minton Road goes straight through, you see, and it's a dead end there. And that was, there was people, you know, that was the Minton Road for years and years. This was nothing. There was no road. And that's why it should have been called Minton Road, an extension, you see.
And it was a mistake on the map.
Yeah.
And what happened was when it was sent into the region, approved as Milton Road, and they can't change it.
But Milton's all right, because Milton McFadden worked here at Percy McFadden for many, many years, so that's quite all right.
Yeah, well, that's what they decided.
Sure.
Sometimes it's easy to believe those mistakes.
But when it comes time that that Minton Road is ever open, straight through to Orleans, it will be Minton Road then, you know. Oh, I know, and people have different ideas about different things, you know.
Yeah. They're going to Navin for something right in the west end of the region, it's all to do with 911. The way they did 911 is so different here than they've done it anywhere else. Like, where my parents live, they ended up using a whole different procedure for 911, and it hasn't worked any better. They've had just exactly the same problems we've had with the bell and with the post office.
But you know, for years to come, when our grandchildren read about all this stuff, you know, it'll be all built up so much, and it's great to have it, you know, and they'll have wondered where this was and that was and so on, and it can be all down sort of on tape or on paper.
Well, this is what we're trying to do, and
because it's really a shame that like a generation or two before me, it hadn't have been put down on tape or paper. Now, some of these tapes that I can give you, it you know, they're not too clear because we didn't have the sophisticated taping machines then that they have now.
Yeah.
But some of these old guys can tell you some real stories about around here.
Well, that'd be great. Well, this is what we're trying to do. We're gathering up, like, we're doing some interviewing, but we have difficulty getting people to go out to the interviews.
Why?
We don't feel confident.
They don't feel confident.
They don't feel confident doing it. There's somebody like Verna who knows these people so well.
Now, this is the backside of the Spears farm. They owned all of this area here, right from that other street, right all down in here.
Boy.
Yeah, owns a beautiful farm.
Mm-hmm.
The Basil Stoller, he's certainly pepped it up a bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Basil Johnson owned this farm for many, many years as well. And I picked potatoes for that man back in, let me see, in the 30s for 50 cents a day.
Mm-hmm.
From 7 in the morning till dark at night. The Rivington boys and Garrett and Edwin Rivington and a few others, we'd bicycle down from Navin down here and pick potatoes all day, and then he'd drive us back at night.
What are they doing in here?
Beg your pardon?
What are they doing in here?
Oh, I guess... Barry or whoever owns this is allowing to dump in here. It looks like old construction material, foundations and that, yeah.
Yeah, don't we hope?
Yeah. Well, that's what it is, old cement.
Yeah, there's a guy down near Carlsbad Springs who's been dumping this kind of stuff and using it as fill.
Adelaide Trudeau owned that farm. Elsie Clark at one time owned property away down here, what we used to call the Brook, you know.
Oh, okay.
And there was a farm, that's a dead end, way down at the end there, and a chap by the name of Vinton McFadden, who was Alice Brereton's parent, owned a farm away down at the end of that road there, at the dead end. But Adelaide Trudeau owns that farm right there,
okay,
in Hyston.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, most, oh, yeah, they're practically all McFaddens around here. Yeah.
But I was reading in this book on the NCC put together that, you know where...
Just stop at this corner. Mm-hmm. Also in, we're at the corner of McFadden Road and...
There's going to park over here.
Yeah. And what is this street right here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, McFadden and Trim Road. And just to the east, on the right-hand side there, January or February of 1940, there was an RCAF Harvard aircraft from Uplands Airport belly landed right in that field just over here to the right,
uh-huh.
And I have pictures of that with Mrs. Henrietta McFadden standing beside the aircraft.
Uh-huh. Was
anybody hurt? No, there was nobody killed, but just prior to that, out where Albert Bertram lives, north of Navin there, there was two airmen killed in a Harvard crash there.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. But I was
training?
Yeah, it was just a training flight.
Mm-hmm.
And as a mechanic in the Air Force during the war, I had a lot of time in the Harvards, you know, flew quite a bit in them. And they were a relatively safe aircraft, but like anything else, you know, they were actually an excellent training aircraft.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, if you got careless, you can have accidents as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was also in... I think that was the winter of 1940, because in 41 I enlisted and I was gone then, so
yeah.
I know that's when it was.
So were you working as a mechanic then, or after?
Well,
after you enlisted?
Yeah, after I enlisted, that's what I enlisted as, an aircraft mechanic.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And when I went overseas, I was on a Spitfire squadron.
Mm-hmm.
So this was there was McFadden's on both sides of the street here.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, there's still McFadden's, Basil McFadden,
mm-hmm.
Farmed there for quite a number of years, and his son Gordy has taken over there now, and Basil's just living up the street here a bit.
Yeah.
But we're just approaching what we all knew as Dag's Hill,
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Were there Dags that lived here?
Oh, yes.
Thomas
Dag and Mervyn Dagg farmed here in this, it's changed color now, but they farmed there for many, many years.
Yeah.
And the barn, of course, long since gone as well. It was right over there.
Yeah.
And McFadden's lived there as well, across the road. So this was known as Dagg's Hill.
Well, I was reading this book with Mayor Blue, and they were talking about, you know where St. Mary the Virgin is on the
Yeah.
They used to call that Dagville.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that must have been before my time.
That's where George Purdy was farming, wasn't it?
That's right. He lived almost,
right,
well,
across road,
almost
road.
Right across the road. Yeah.
Where that big red brick was.
Yeah.
Now, McWilliams have been here for donkey years.
Oh, yes. McWilliams have been there for many, many years. And there was a McFadden owned this farm for many, many years. Frank McFadden owned that farm.
Jamie's farm now.
Where then Ed Sandini farmed there for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jamie McWilliams has it. And there was a Dagg's owned that farm. Samuel Dagg owned that farm.
That's Willard.
That's where Willard McWilliams is today.
Yeah.
And then Ira McWilliams owned this farm where Richard McWilliams is now.
So which one's Tiny?
Well, that's Tiny. That's
okay, Richard.
We all know him as Tiny, of course.
Yeah.
Funny how nicknames stick to a fella.
Yeah.
Now, this is the railway crossing where Tiny's wife and her sister was killed here.
Yeah.
That was a sad event.
Yeah.
And Johnson's, Mr. William Johnson, owned this farm beside Tiny here for many, many, many years also.
Does
it have a name here? Well, actually, as kids, you can just stop here on top of the hill. We used to know it when we were kids as Brown's Hill, because there was a fellow by the name of Reggie Brown had a house right here, and well, we all say you're going down to a flight at Brown's Hill. But the Anglican Cemetery, I have many memories of this, and as a young kid in my teens, and that myself and Edwin Rivington, Garrett's brother, were great pals, and the favorite pastime on a Sunday afternoon, of course, was to walk down Smith Road down to the station at Navan, and then walk up the railroad tracks. And every Sunday at about 2 o'clock, as sure as anything, there was an old gentleman by the name of Mr. Frederick Bickert, and he'd be in the cemetery in there looking at the stones, and that was a favorite pastime. And we'd go in there, and we'd sit down there for hours and listen to him regale us of stories about how, when he used to work out in Butte City, Montana, in the gold mines, and in the mines out there.
Yes.
Well, he'd tell us some stories. I'm sure some of them were pretty far-fetched, you know. But this was a favorite pastime, and I can see him sitting in there. Now, this is going back into the 30s, of course.
Yeah.
And Fred would sit in there and tell us these wild tales of all his great escapades out in Butte City, Montana.
Bickertons had a big family, too, didn't they?
Yeah, well, he was one of the Bickertons. Yes, the Bickertons were quite a big family around Navan at the time.
Yeah.
Quite a big family. But this is all newly built here. Just up the street here on the left, I'll show you a little place that was quite a going concern at one time.
Now this is where Clark Armstrong
lives. Clark Armstrong lives right here now, yeah.
And
Mrs. Henrietta Lancaster lives here.
Okay. Was this
just stop here now. Watch that hole right there.
Yeah.
Now, right across the street here on the left, a gentleman by the name of Hugh Lancaster owned that at one time, and he ran a business there. He had a barber shop. There was a barber shop in the upper part, but on the lower level, there was a butcher shop in there.
Oh.
And it was quite a going concern, and his son Stanton, he used to have a little Model T Ford truck with a refrigerated, ice refrigerated box on the back of it, and he'd go around to everybody in town here, and I guess around the surrounding area, and sell sausages out of the back, or roast of beef, or whatever you need, and their slaughterhouse was just at the back of the property back in there. But this was quite a going concern, and a fellow by the name of I think his name was Oscar LaFrance, had a barber shop up there, and this is where, of course, we got our haircut, and he lived in this other part of the house right here. But I just forget when it was that house caught on fire one time, and it was an awful windy day in the summertime, and I think it burnt down or partially burnt down, but I do remember the sparks coming over and igniting the shingle roof on this house here with Mrs. Lancaster, and then consequently it went over into the bush and caught fire in this bush back in here, and they let all the high school kids out of school that day to come and fight the fire, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see fellows up on that roof there throwing pails of water because that's all we had, and there was nothing back then. But that was quite an event, and we could have lost the whole thing very easily.
When was that event?
That was in the 30s. Yeah.
Do you remember did you know where Newton's lived?
Yes, I can tell you where the Newton's.
Because they ran a boarding house.
Well, I think Findlay's ran a boarding house. Now, we're coming up to where Mr. Robert Newton had a plumbing house. He did plumbing and that for all the farmers fixing the windmills right here on the right-hand side. Well, I mean, the Keller's.
The red brick.
Yeah.
Okay, where Keller's are now.
But now, right the next one, this is where the Findlay girls had the telephone office for many, many years. And this is where Alan Strayer was the day I was telling you about that shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, this is the mill here on the right-hand side, which was here for, I can remember when it was just two little sheds. One was that housed the engine for running the mill, and one...
Yeah. We'll have to get in and take photographs of the mill.
And at the Anglican Church here... We'll just turn left on Smith Road here.
Yeah.
And there was a big shed right where the hall is, where the farmers and the parishioners used to come and put tie up their horses in there.
Oh, yeah.
And the first church hall was above that shed at one end of it where they had the strawberry suppers and so on.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the hall, there's always been something like a hall there.
Something there, and it was there that Mr. J.T. Bradley, Lorne Bradley's grandfather, had his last supper. We come up and they had a supper there that night, a strawberry supper, and something happened during the night and he passed away. But this was nothing here then down this street. It was absolutely only bush and it was a... But Trim Road...
Who owned the farm here?
Oh,
you know where...
In 1940...
Where does live?
Yes, I do. Howard Wall owned that for many, many years. And I'm trying to think... I think it was people by the name of Walsh owned that before Howard bought it.
Yeah.
And,
was the house like where Tovetz is? Was that house there too?
No, this house was here, and yes, Tovetz was there too. Because Mr. Foster Nelson, one of our bank managers, lived in that for many, many years. And he had a tennis court out front, and we as kids used to play tennis there. And then Mr. Yanda had it after that, and I think Tovetz bought it from them. But this is a very, very old house, this little log house right here. And for many, many years, one of the mail carriers from around here, Mr. John Bird, lived in that for years and years. And then Mr. Dave Taylor and his wife Sadie lived in it for many, many years. Now, this is getting into the 40s.
That's Grimes now.
Yeah, Gerald Grimes has bought that. And then this property...
Now, there's another house back in here.
Just next to it, people by the name of Dunnings owned that. Mr. William Dunning and his son Alban owned that, and they kept a great big chicken house in there, raising chickens and selling eggs and so on.
The foundation is still there.
Yes.
The back there was a kid.
But in 1940, the big two-story, the big two-story chicken house burned down.
Yeah.
I remember that. But the house survived for quite a number of years.
Well, this is where Mary.
That Mary Smith lived here, and this is what we used to call the old mill pond, and we used to swim as kids in that, just, you know, to the right of this bridge.
Yeah.
Yes, Mary and George Smith built that house and lived there.
And that was called the mill pond. I wonder if there was a mill there at one time.
No, I don't think that, not as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
But I guess as kids we just christened it. And this farm we're coming up to here where Sid Smith lived, Mr. Richard Clark owned it at one time. And then after he, Osborne Clark, and then Sid Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this little bit of a hill might, I don't know what it was called, it might have been Clark's Hill at the time, you know. I remember we used to slide on it when we were kids in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And the station, of course, was on the left here.
Yeah, just in where you
come. Yeah. And this house on the right-hand side here was the station master's house, which was over just to the east and to the right of the station.
So it was moved.
Mr. Noe Uno was the station master there for many, many years.
Okay.
And it was moved over there and bought by Mr. Bert Stanford, who lived in it for quite a long time, and then it has since been sold. And Laurier Savage, as we knew him, lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked on the railroad for quite a number of years as well. Yeah, the station was almost right where that little bush is. But just stopping in for a second.
Yeah.
When Percy Smith got hit with the train that day, the train was coming from west to east, and Percy was coming this way. And it just cut the back of the truck off, and there was racks off the truck and tin cans, milk cans and everything, right up against the station, all up the platform there. But the other crossing he got hit at was the one just up beyond that, the next crossing up there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Same engineer.
Same engineer, yeah.
Did he feel paranoid after?
Oh, I'm telling you, Percy, that guy had 9 lives.
I know every time we see the crank on number 73 cement mixer, we get paranoid.
But Percy was a great, great friend of mine. He was in the forces during the war, and he was a great Lions Club member to terrific, terrific worker for the Lions Club. And when he moved to Kempville, he transferred to the Kempville Lions.
So is he a relative of Sid Smith?
Yes, they're first cousins. And Percy farmed, Percy and his wife farmed for many years down where the Williams Riding Farm is down there. And prior to that, people by the name of John Oliver Smith and his son Earl farmed that.
McGuadry's place, she's been there a year or two.
Yes, and that was people of Emma Walsh owned that at one time. That's quite an old home.
Yeah.
That's not too old, really. None of these houses are here.
Yeah. Okay, where Hazel McDonald lived, it was the manse at one time.
It was the Anglican Rectory, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and the first rector I can remember living there is Mr. J.C., Reverend J.C. Anderson.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think of some of the others lived there. And after that ceased to become a rectory, I think I remember one of the school principal here, Mr. Ernest Winter, lived there for a while,
oh,
if I remember correctly.
Is Rivington's house, has it always been Rivington's?
No, that was built by, I understand, by Dr. Irwin. And he had a doctor's office in there for many, many years. Then he had an office down in that big white house where his son Marvin is living right now.
Yeah.
But that, I remember going there as a kid to him.
Now, where was the carriage shop in here?
Oh, just
where
we're stopped almost right in front of it. Right there was the carriage shop.
Okay.
Right about where the little tree is, and there was another building right beside it, where this Bill Armstrong had his blacksmith shop. But the carriage shop, we always used to know it as the old Red Shed.
Uh-huh.
And after it ceased to become a carriage shop, it was more or less a storage area for Mr. Dunfield that ran the telephone system here at the time, you know. And rather tragic things happened there. One of our young locals got in there one night and he stole some dynamite caps out of it and Halloween night, and he proceeded to blow his fingers off. But, I well remember that. I can hear that bang. Yes, Mr. Bill Armstrong had a blacksmith shop there, and where Keith Simpson is living beside me, just between he and the next house, which was owned by a Mr. Rivington at one time, there was a blacksmith shop there also, and as Keith is doing his lawn this summer, he's still digging up, just for a second, he's still digging up horseshoes there.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's all the summer.
Okay.
And if you wanted 50 gallons or 100 gallons, you'd pump up 10 gallons and let it down into this 200-gallon tank until you got whatever you wanted, and then away you go to the farmer. But as the farmers, the more of them got around with tractors, they had to get something better. So then I bought this old clunker of an international truck with a 700-gallon tank on it, and I used to haul my stuff from Ottawa then, but that was pretty primitive then. The roads were terrible.
When would that have been?
I started here in 1945, and I did that for, I was with Texaco when I originally started, and I hauled from the corner of Bank Street and Heron Road, or actually from Eastview when I first started.
Okay.
McCall Frontenac Oil Company, which was the predecessor of Texaco, they had a depot down in Eastview in Vanier, and I hauled from there, and then from the corner of Heron Road and Bank Street.
But do you remember when you would have switched over to the oil, or did you do it sort of gradually?
Well, it was mostly then it was gasoline. Then when the oil furnaces started to come in, then you get into furnace oil and all the rest of the stuff.
So it was bulk gasoline that you were delivering originally?
Yeah.
It must have been an interesting job.
Well, it was. And my first customers, as a matter of fact, the very first three that I can remember was Hal Shaw, Philip McAllister, and Neville Wall.
Hmm.
And Neville Wall lived in that farm that we're talking about out there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I delivered to out there.
Mm-hmm.
With his little Jeep and 200-gallon tank in the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And about 47, 8, 9 along there.
So that was like where your grandfather had farmed. You were living back to that farm?
Neville Wall and
and my grandfather just across the street from each other, across the
road. Yeah.
Where that farm, where Wall's farm was, Howard Wall's and my grandfather, my neighbor's son.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which is Neville's father,
yeah. Yeah. So were you born on the farm?
In Ottawa, actually. But I lived here all my life.
Yeah, okay. But you never, did you live on the farm?
Oh, no, here.
Oh, okay, you always lived?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because they moved down here in 22 years.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But when they moved on to that time, I couldn't tell you.
No.
No,
but they were farming there.
Oh, yeah.
As far as you know, yeah.
And this Lewis Burns, Bob's grandfather, he was farming there.
Mm-hmm.
And where Bob is living now, fellow named William Creighton, that was known as Creighton's Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was living there at one time.
Yeah.
And then this Howard Wall just lived across where I was telling about,
yeah.
So they're all sort of
close together there.
And it used to be called, what everybody knew it, or the Lancasters and everybody knew that area as the Rock then, because it was always up on a rocky piece of
it.
There's
rocky
a quarry in there at one time.
Yeah, you can see the remnants of it. There's a lot of rock up there.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd turn that into a quarry.
So and of course the Lancasters, brothers, Mr. Lancaster's husband, that you've always heard him talk about number 10, eh?
Mm-hmm.
There was a cheese factory and a little school right on that corner there.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the corner of the Innes Road and this, that's 9th Concession, 8th Concession.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the corner of 8th mm-hmm. and Innes Road, out there now.
Okay.
There's a little cheese factory there and a school at one time.
Is that Martin's Corner?
No, this way from Martin's Corner.
Okay.
When you go straight out north here. Wait a
minute. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's Frank Kenny Road.
Okay, we get Innes this way. Where's Frank Kenny Road?
Oh, here.
Okay, Innes Road. This is where's Martin's Corner?
Martin's Corner. Is that Frank Kenny
and Queen?
Okay, down here.
Innes Road, and where's the 8th Concession?
Must be, what, Frank Kenny?
Yeah.
No.
Frank Kenny Road. No. This is the 10th. That's the 9th. 8th is Trim Road.
Wait, we got this wrong. We should be going this way. Innes Road is where?
I thought Trim was 9th Road.
It is.
Trim is 9th Road?
Yeah. And Frank Kenny is 8th. We see we're in the 8th concession here.
Okay.
Frank Kenny Road
yeah.
and go north. And where is the...
This is Innes. You're just coming up to me.
Okay. Well, this is out approximately right there because if you're going out Martin's Corners,
It's right at the end of that road.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so there was a cheese factory
there. Yeah, and a school.
And a school.
And that was called number 10. And all the
Scarfs
and Davies and all that bunch were educated out there in that little...
Mm-hmm.
And Letitia McCullough, Letitia Russell,
taught
there
for
years.
She taught there, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But it's long gone. There's
houses.
But there was a cheese factory and a little school. And everybody around here and the Scarfs and Davies and all those knew it as number 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you didn't go to school there. You
I went
to
in the Red Brick. The Red Brick school, it was torn down. And see, I had just finished high school when the war came along, and
mm-hmm.
when I was 18 or
Did your dad have brothers and sisters?
No, he was the only one. But my mother had quite a big family, and I think it was 10 of my family.
Yeah,
quite a big family. So. Now there, look, there's the Harriers that we flew in during the war. I managed to get that picture of it. Oh, come in here, not long ago. You know,